the Haynesboro releases its proposed fiscal year 2020 budget. And getting to the root of food security in Alaska. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories are up next. The Haynesboro has released a preliminary budget for fiscal year 2020. The document does not include dramatic changes in spending or cuts to programs. However, the budget does propose to increase property taxes if the borough loses state funding to pay off the construction of the Haynes School. In an April 1st memo to the borough assembly and mayor, borough manager Deborah Schnabel wrote that the borough cannot cut its way to a sustainable community. At the same time, she wrote that the borough cannot spend its reserves while waiting for external changes. The proposed budget would provide flat funding for the school. Spending on the library, police department, planning, and technology would increase slightly. Department of Public Facilities spending would drop by about $40,000. The legislature's final decision on the state's school bond debt reimbursement program will have a significant impact on the borough's finances. If it were eliminated, the Haynesboro would stop receiving annual payments of $900,000 from the state to help pay off the bonds used to construct the Haynes School in 2005. That means the borough would assume responsibility for all of the bond debt. To pay it off, the manager's budget would increase property taxes by about 3 mils, depending on where the property is located. The assembly must pass a budget for 2020 by June 15th. There will be several opportunities to comment on it. The next meeting on the budget is on April 16th at 6:30 p.m. in assembly chambers. It's spring in the Upper Lynn Canal, but before anyone starts their gardens, it may be wise to think about food storage. Haynes grower Rebecca Brewer showed KHNS reporter Claire Strempel her root cellar to explain how good long-term storage can improve food security.
It's been nearly a decade since Rebecca Brewer started her garden in Haynes. She works to produce year-round food for two people and a small summer fresh produce business. In the winter, she sells potatoes and carrots.
This room happened because...
Brewer's had a root cellar since 2012, when pressure from heavy snowfall broke out a window in the back room of her cabin.
First, I was really disappointed about that window being smashed, and then I thought, wait a minute, I think this room is actually meant for vegetables.
She turned the accident into a storage system that keeps her crops ready to eat throughout the year. She used the open window to create a vent system that keeps the room cool in the summer and just above freezing in the winter.
I store potatoes in here. This is all potatoes in crates. I store beets and carrots in totes of damp sawdust. Any root crop stores really well in this medium, which is damp sawdust.
Garlic and onions hang on the walls, and squash is up on a high shelf where it's a little warmer and drier. The potato crates are on the ground. Canned salmon and meat is on the shelves in between. Brewer just finished eating the cabbages that used to hang from their roots on another wall.
So that's pretty good timing because I'm about to start kale plants. So I try to make that loop happen where I'm always eating something of my own.
That idea, that one should always eat something homegrown, is essential to Brewer, but not something most post-industrial households even try to achieve. Local grocery stores stock all the food most families need, regardless of the season. And because of low oil prices, it's less expensive to import food than grow it here in Alaska. According to public health professor Elizabeth Hodges Snyder at University of Alaska Anchorage, that means most food comes to Alaska through a long supply chain. Alaska imports approximately 95% of its food.
It's not an unusual number in any sense. There's similar numbers for other states as well. The difference for Alaska is that we don't necessarily have a similar number for export. So if we were to have a significant interruption in our imports, we don't have the same amount of food to sit on, so to speak, and to feed our local populations, and that is the concern.
If anything happens to shut down food shipments, Dr. Hodges Snyder says it wouldn't take long for grocery stores to sell out of their stocks. Depending on where you are and whom you ask, most areas would run out of food in 3 to 10 days. She says solutions like root cellars are part of building more resilient local food systems.
Those are an important component of a patchwork quilt of preparedness. one of our shortcomings in our current food infrastructure here in the state is having well-established and well-distributed places for food storage and holding food prior to distribution. So the more that individuals and local communities can safely store food, the better.
Dr. Hodges-Snyder says that's especially important in Alaska, in the circumpolar north, because of long winters where people aren't actively harvesting. According to a study commissioned by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, most of the local food in Alaska comes from subsistence and personal use gathering, that is, wild food. If residents can keep the wide variety of sources they collect through the summer, it can improve food access through leaner seasons. Rebecca Brewer says that all it takes to boost your resilience is a little bit of foresight.
Just hoping to inspire people to think along those lines of storing food longer. And if you are looking at expanding your garden, you want to be prepared. You know, you don't want to plant that extra row of 20 potatoes and then not have a place to put them. So you want to think ahead and say, this is how I'm going to store these potatoes. Okay, now I can plant them. Because I've definitely done it the opposite way, where I planted everything and then went, oh, right. Now I have to put these somewhere.
She says people can find food storage solutions that fit their living spaces and budgets pretty easily. Brewer's root cellar is simply an above-ground room that was hard to heat anyway. Her land has high groundwater, so digging a root cellar wasn't practical. The project got her interested in how other people manage their food storage, so she conducted a study of several different kinds of root cellars in the Chilkat Valley to learn about different ways it can be done. Now she's bringing that knowledge back to the community. Brewer will present her study of Chilkat Valley root cellars at the Haynesboro Library on April 17th. In Haynes, I'm Claire Strimple.
For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org.